I'd like you to first open to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. And in this chapter, we're going to take a look at two verses. Verses 8 and 9. It says, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. I was praying last night about today, and as I began to pray, the Lord began to speak. I'll be honest with you, at first I really wasn't sure if I was hearing Him or hearing me. You know, my own imagination, that kind of thing. But the more I prayed, the more He kept speaking. And the things that He was saying, I realized, I'm not this smart. This can't be me. So I knew it had to be Him. And I began to write these things down, and He just kept talking and talking. And at first I thought I was going to share all of this tonight, but I just really felt impressed that I needed to share it with you today. And then the sermon that was for this morning will be for tonight. But here in Isaiah 42, you know, the Lord makes this declaration, you know, I'm not going to share my glory with anybody or anything. And then He says in verse 9 that, you know, the former things have come to pass, new things I declare, and before they spring forth, I tell you of them. One of the things that, you know, in the church, the body of Christ, there are a lot of people that, you know, they're born again and they're going to heaven and they do love the Lord, but they have a hard time understanding the whole concept of prophecy, in that it's almost like they feel and believe once the Bible was given, that was pretty much an end of the operation of prophecy, as, you know, it's mentioned, as it's spoken of. And I know that I was raised to really know nothing at all about prophecy or prophets, you know, pastors and evangelists and teachers. Beyond that, really didn't have much of a clue. And even today, there are a lot of Christians that don't really understand this. I can remember there have been times where I've been speaking with people, Christians, and, you know, things come up, and you just begin to talk about the things of the Lord, and I've shared, well, you know, I was praying the other day, and the Lord began to tell me, and I began to share with them what the Lord was sharing with me. And they look at me like, you mean, you want me to believe that God spoke to you like that, like a conversation, like He said something to you, and you heard it. I mean, you're wanting me to believe that? And you can just tell that on the inside, things that are in their mind are like, but God doesn't do that today. That ended with the apostles. I mean, whatever the theology would be. And there are a lot of folks that just don't understand this. And it isn't that God doesn't love them. I mean, we know He does. And it isn't that they don't love God. It's just that, you know, within the structure of their churches, they do not understand these things. And I don't say this to be critical. It's just a statement of fact. That's how it is. They don't understand these things. They don't understand the operation of the gifts of the Spirit for today and so on. Don't understand the ministry of the prophet and this, that, and the other. And yet these things are very real. And the other day, whenever you have a new year, a lot of people in the body of Christ, the ones who do believe in prophets and prophecy and this, that, and the other, they want to know who's got the word, you know, what's coming up in the next year. I've had people contact me, what's the Lord showing you for the coming year, and so on and so forth. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but sometimes it gets out of hand. And I don't know, it just, Sometimes it's like Christians are just looking for a fresh word, a new word, more than they are a deepening lifestyle with God. And guys, look, it isn't the fresh word, the new word, who's got the latest prophecy and so forth that's going to carry you through. What's going to carry you through is your walk with God. So anyway, you know, I'm praying last night, and in fact, you know, it was about a week or so ago, someone called me. There was another minister called me and said, has the Lord shown you anything about the coming year? You know, I mean, has he spoken anything specific to you? And I just passed some things on, some generalities of what I sensed was happening, but I mean, nothing real, you know, profound or whatever. So last night I'm praying, and the Lord began to speak, and a lot of what he said, and really the majority of what he shared with me last night has to do with this coming year. And some of these things in here, as he began to speak them, you know, I stopped. I mean, I just lifted my hands off the keyboard and I stopped because I wanted to be sure I was hearing him correctly. And a couple of times I actually questioned him, not doubted, but questioned. Did I hear that correctly? Is this what I'm supposed to put down? And yeah, you know, put this down. So okay, so I did. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this to you. It's several pages, and it covers a lot of stuff. Well, not a lot of stuff maybe, but you know, several areas. I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to go back, and I'm going to maybe clarify a couple of points as he laid it on my heart. So, here's how it went. For the time is short, so short, much shorter than you realize. Things are happening in the spirit that cannot be seen with the mortal eye. Things are happening rapidly. I have said in my word that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come, and he does this through vessels who hear his voice. He does not speak of himself, but only that which he hears. His voice is my voice. When he speaks, I am speaking. Hear my words and know that I am moving. I told you not long ago, less than 1 year ago, that a new voice would rise within your country. I said it would not be a new voice, but one that would be new to most people. I told you that it would be a charming voice, one which would sound pleasing and acceptable. But I also told you that it was a voice of evil and deception, a voice not to be trusted. You have heard that voice. Those of you who have watched your news have seen this person. This voice has spoken words of unity, but they cloak disaster. This voice has already begun to penetrate the hearts and minds of both the lost and my church. This voice has begun appealing to many. There are those in my church who are dull of hearing and spiritually numb, and they would vote for this person today to put him into the White House. The enemy's plan to move this person into great prominence has been masterful. He has moved slowly, yet methodically, to raise this person up. On the surface, this person does not appear to be evil and says things which sound so right. But the words are planned and calculated, often crafted by the enemy himself. I am warning you now that this country is headed for a severe testing. If my church does not pray and seek my direction for the coming elections, there will be great suffering. The most recent elections must be viewed as warnings of what is to come if my church is not sensitive to me and votes the way I desire. I will not put a person in office of my own accord. You are the ones who vote. If you do not guard yourselves and listen to me, the wrong people will be elected and much of this country will be handed over to Satan. My son warned that in the last days, false prophets would arise. This is happening now and is even increasing. Let me tell you how this is happening. Just as I do not raise up my own prophets unless they are hearing from me and have gone through a time of spiritual preparation, false prophets will not arise until they have gone through a season of preparation. The preparation of a false prophet is well developed by the enemy. He starts very slowly and tests the waters of an individual's character and spiritual stability. He carefully observes what I am doing in a person's life and tries to counterfeit my moving for the purpose of deceiving that person. He closely observes that person's reactions to the counterfeit to see how far he can take that person into the next level of deception. Over time, he is able to lead this person further and further away from truth with that which is a lie, but is now accepted as truth. The enemy is not able to manufacture a calling, but can take advantage of the calling I have placed upon a person. Through this process of deception, the enemy is able to get this person operating by a false anointing. There are times when this person will minister according to truth, my truth, and then minister according to deception. This is how even the very elect can be deceived. These false prophets are slowly but surely increasing in your midst. My heart is breaking because I am watching more and more of my children take steps in the direction of the deceiving words of these false prophets. Some of you hearing these words now have heard the voices of at least one false prophet. Guard your heart now. For I tell you that in the coming year, the works of these false prophets is going to accelerate. Stop wasting your time searching the television for preacher after preacher. Many of you have allowed soiled seed to be sown into your hearts, and it has begun to have an impact on your walk with me. You have allowed confusion to be sown into your life. You are allowing your doctrine and the path of your life to be established by the words of those who have not heard me in the way they proclaim. As my son said, if it is possible, even the very elect will be deceived. Yet in his words is the revelation that you can make it possible not to be deceived. In and of yourselves, you are all able to be deceived. There are no exceptions. But if you follow the instructions I have given in my word, you can fortify yourselves spiritually and defend yourselves against deception. My son was not deceived. And does not my word say you can conform to the same image of his glory? My servant, the apostle Paul, was not deceived. For had he been, I could not have spoken through him to write so much scripture. In fact, it is through some of his writings that I give instructions on how you can protect yourselves against deception. Again I say, guard your heart now. For those who are weak spiritually are candidates for deception. There are homes which will be divided because of this deception. Ministries will take stands against each other. Those who once spoke truth will speak more and more deception. I am watching now as many of my children are being led astray. So again, guard your heart and strengthen yourself in the Spirit to stand firm to the end. Be very cautious about how you spend your money in the months to come. Focus on getting out of debt instead of sinking deeper into debt. A natural disaster is coming in the next year, which will have an economic impact. There will be a ripple effect in many sectors. Many lives are going to be lost in this disaster. Be forewarned that what you see on Wall Street, the Dow Jones averages, are deceptive. The economy looks good, but it is just a sugar coating that is covering a sour situation. Your economy was sold out many years ago, and the effect has been growing. Prepare yourself and use wisdom with your finances. I told you not long ago that another terrorist attack is in the planning for this country. There are stockpiles of weapons being readied. What you don't know, and what has not been revealed to the people of this nation, is that your security agencies have already stopped other attacks. There are many things kept secret, but victories are being won. Pray for the plans of the enemy to be revealed. It is not needful for all the citizens to know of these plans, just those who can intervene. I tell you that if you pray, attacks can be averted. There is going to be great upheaval in the Middle East. If you think closely to what has happened in the past year, much more conflict has arisen beyond that which you see in Iraq. But these other flashpoints have been buried in the back pages of your newspapers while the situation in Iraq has been the focus. Israel is going to face another crisis. There are plans being formulated this moment to try and put Israel in a no-win situation. If these plans are allowed to come forth and not stopped through prayer, Israel will act in its own national interests and preservation. Their actions will be decried by many, including many in the political arena in this nation. The things that have happened in Iraq have been a diversion by the enemy. Do you not think it strange that once military action began in Iraq, it was not long before Saddam Hussein was captured? Do you not think he could have escaped and even left his country under cover of night? I tell you, he was not discovered, as many would think. He was handed over by the God he worshipped. He was sacrificed by the devil because he had lost his usefulness. Satan has worked hard to bring about this diversion in Iraq. This diversion will allow him to manipulate the international political scene for the purpose of raising up the Antichrist. If this diversion were not taking place, many of the things which are now happening would draw too much attention. Political figures are moving to establish their power. When the time is right, these positionings will come to light. Alliances are being established. National boundaries are beginning to fade. Nations will begin to allow leaders from other countries to dictate policies. But there is no alarm over this while the diversion is happening. However, when the time is right, the diversion will settle down for a season. By then, the political strongholds will be in place, and some people will wonder, how did this happen? But I say unto you, heed the words of my son, and let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. I will see you through. I will be your strength and your peace. I will be your sword and your shield. I will be your ever-present help in times of trouble. As you have seen, I am cleaning my house. Just as my son used a whip to drive out the money changers, I am using the whip of my glory and anointing to purge my house. Have I not said in my word that I am the judge, and I put one down and raise up another? I speak to the hearts of those in error and sin. The day has come that if they do not repent in secret with me, I will drag them out before the world. I have said in my word that you are to be holy as I am holy. I say to you now, repent of your sin and follow the path of holiness. My judgment will pass from the pulpit to the pews, and none will escape being held accountable. Sexual sins, financial improprieties, self-ambitions, and many other things will be brought to light in the days to come. A great army is being raised up in the Spirit. I have many warriors in training even now. Man's religion has defined for you what a great ministry is, but I say that such a definition is flawed. To me, a great ministry is that where the one called obeys my word, is not seeking self-promotion but is seeking the promotion of the kingdom, who loves me more than anything or anyone, and is not concerned or captured by the affairs of this life. You have been trained to judge a ministry by the size of the filled arenas and members in the congregations. But it would amaze you how many of the so-called megachurches and large ministries have not been built with my anointing, but have been built with human ingenuity. Slick programming and planning have developed much of what you see. I am not saying that the heads of those ministries or those pastoring such churches do not love me. However, they have been caught up in man's way of doing things. My army has been in training for a long time. Your enemy has not been acutely aware of what's been going on. For when my prophet Elijah cried out to me, thinking he was all alone, I told him I had reserved 7,000 unto myself who had not bowed their knee to Baal. Those 7,000 were hidden away by me in preparation for the day that they should be brought forth. In the same way, I have held in reserve thousands upon thousands who have been in training and preparation. They have been in the caves of their prayer closets seeking my face. They have not sought to grow their churches or ministries, only to serve me. They are becoming storehouses of my glory and anointing. I have begun bringing them forth, and they are creating great disturbances in the realm of the Spirit. Strongholds of the enemy, which have been in place for years, decades, and even centuries, are coming down. The enemy has been caught off guard by the intensity of this move. He knew people were seeing me, but since he cannot see their hearts, He did not know the extent to which they had entered my presence. There is a great warfare taking place as those clad in the fullness of my spiritual armor are taking back ground in large portions. Not all in my army have been released into the battle. They will be released in waves in a strategic manner that will confound the camp of the enemy. He will not know where the next attack is going to be launched. Many in my church will live their lives oblivious to what is happening. They have settled into a pattern of religion while they await the return of my son. Many of the large ministries and megachurches will conduct their religious business as usual, selling their gimmicks to raise money, crying and laughing together on each other's TV programs, prophesying whatever will bring in the most offerings, and missing out on what I am really doing. I love them all and recognize that they truly believe they are serving me, yet they have missed the real reason I have called them. Some in my army will lose their lives in this war, but they will be received into my presence with great reward and rejoicing. But for each one who dies, 10 more will be released to carry on. For just as the enemy has been planning his moves in these last days, I have been planning mine. And I would remind you of this. I know all of the enemy's plans, but he knows none of mine. What I am telling you is that the very beginning stages of revival have begun. In the natural, there has been no great fanfare, and this has essentially gone unnoticed. But that is the way I planned it. For in this revival, man will not get the glory, and those in my army will not seek it. For have I not said in my word that the glory is mine? I have not limited the number of those who will be in this army. Many will see what is happening and will choose to commit and consecrate themselves totally unto me. I will then be able to use them in my army. To those who desire that I use them in this way, I would say, sell out to me and make your life with me the priority. Have I not said in my word that I will replace whatever you feel you lose as you seek me? Because of the way this warfare has begun, millions will be brought into my kingdom. Masses will be swept into salvation because the enemy will have been caught off guard. Even though he may hear the words of this message, it will do him no good, for he cannot see into my heart and he does not know my mind. Oh, I laugh even now at the futility of his efforts to stop me. Yes, the sound of my laughter is resounding throughout heaven in a way that brings depths of joy to those who are here. I see the victories that are about to take place, and I am excited because my glory is going to be seen throughout the world. So take heed to what I have said. Turn to me for your strength and peace. Make me your first love. Allow me to work in you my perfect plan. I will release into you abundant glory and anointing. You will hear my voice. You will know my presence. You will sit in the midst of my love. You will know me as your father and feel the eternal confidence of being my child. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pretty powerful stuff. And now, for the sake of clarity, just a couple of things, not a whole lot. But when he mentioned about the where he said, guard your heart and stop wasting your time searching the television for preacher after preacher. It's like on the inside, I could see Christians at home in front of the television with the remote looking for the Christian TV stations, watching preacher after preacher after preacher, and at times tuning in to a Christian network and leaving it on all day in the house, thinking they were doing the right thing. And what God showed me is that, do you remember the story where Jesus was giving the parable about the wheat and the tares, and how that the enemy came in and sowed the tares, and they didn't know how it had happened, where it had come from? That's what's happening. They turn it on, they leave it on, they think they're doing the right thing because it's, quote, Christian television. And in reality, what's happening is the enemy is sowing tares into their home, into their life, through the false doctrines and the wrong preaching and teaching. And the people don't even realize, well, it's like he said here, that soiled seed has been sown into their hearts, and it's having an impact, and that their doctrine is, and the path of their life is being impacted. And basically what he is saying here, I mean, you heard what he said, you know, stop doing this. I mean, just because it's not doing you any good. And the thing is, there are those that have heard this before, you know, where he's made reference to, you know, who you're listening to. And for some, it's fallen on deaf ears because you keep going back and listening to the same people who don't need to be sowing into your heart. And you keep letting them speak. You're tuning into radio stations, Christian radio stations, and you're letting it play all day, and you're letting tares be sown into your life. You have other options, and you need to exercise those other options as far as what you listen to and who you allow to speak into your life. Just because they're Christians does not mean that what they're speaking is birthed from the throne room of God. So I really think you better give heed to this, I mean, to whomever this applies. And then where he made the statement about the, the false prophets and so forth, and he said that there are homes which will be divided because of this deception. What's going to happen is there are going to be Christian homes. There's going to be divorce. Just settle it in your heart now. Divorce is coming. Now, I'm not prophesying to anybody specifically in this congregation, but I'm saying in the body of Christ, it's coming. It's going to happen. You're not going to be able to stop it. And here's why. It's because those who are walking in the deception of wrong doctrine have hardened their hearts and seared their conscience to the voice not only of the Lord, but of their mate. Remember when Jesus said that a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown? A person speaking truth may be accepted by everybody around him except by the spouse. And there's something about that spousal relationship that's so incredibly, it's an amazing phenomenon in that we will sometimes be willing to listen to other people who will say the exact same thing as our spouse, but we don't want to hear it from the spouse. We reject those words. And what's going to happen is this. There are the people who are not walking in deception are not going to be the ones seeking the divorce. It's going to be the ones who are walking in the deception. They're going to have a very difficult time understanding why it is that they're the ones who are always wrong when they're firmly convinced they're right. And so it's going to lead to some division. You may not know any of the people to where these divorces take place. And I'm not saying it's going to be a mass divorce. I'm just saying it's going to happen. It might be 10 in the entire country. I mean, I just don't know. I don't have a number to give you. I just know that there are those, they're Christians. These are Christian homes. But this kind of stuff is in the works, and it's because of the deception and the wrong teaching. Now, to anybody hearing this, if this happens to you, do not let yourself be distracted by this work of the enemy, because that's exactly what it is. Remember, you cannot change the will of another person. The only will that you can truly impact is your own as you submit to God. Allow God to strengthen you in this, and know that God is there to help you and that it is not His will that this take place. So, is it possible that some of these things could be turned? Yes. But for the ones that their hearts are truly hardened, no. I mean, God can't change a hardened heart unless the person submits their heart to Him, lets Him work with that. The thing about the natural disaster and so forth, and the economic, where he said, be cautious about how you spend your money in the months to come. One of the things that he showed me in this, people getting an increase or a raise or bonus or something like that. In other words, there's an increase of income in their home, and what they immediately do is look to what they can afford. And even to the point of buying something on credit because they realize now with this increase they're going to be able to afford the payments. Please, heed his words here and use wisdom with your finances, what he said. As far as the natural disaster is concerned, have no idea what or where. It doesn't have to be in this country. He didn't specify a nation. He just said there's one that's coming. And here's the thing. as I was thinking about this, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, a tsunami wiping out half a country, or, you know, an earthquake, and, you know, California falling into the ocean. I'm thinking, you know, something like that. And he began to show me how it doesn't have to be a island-eliminating tsunami to have an economic impact. It could be a, really, it could be a low-powered earthquake taking place at the right location that could have a severe economic impact. I mean, think about it like this. Just think about it like, do you remember a few years ago how that there was this huge power failure throughout part of the country, and they traced it back to like one transformer outside of Cleveland? Remember that? That's all it's going to take, a minor earthquake to wipe out one power station that is the central feeding hub for a power grid, and you've got yourself an economic impact. You see what I'm saying? So it doesn't, because I was thinking, you know, volcano that blows away Italy or something. That's what I'm thinking. But it was like he dropped in my heart, it doesn't have to be that massive. And he said many lives are going to be lost. So I'm thinking, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. He didn't say hundreds of thousands. I went back and I looked at this. He just said many lives. That could be 300. You see what I'm saying? And I don't know exactly. All I know is what he said. And that's what I'm passing on to you. As far, because immediately people are going to think, well, what kind of disaster? What's going to happen? I mean, I just don't know. Beyond that, I don't think there's anything else that I needed to clarify, because it pretty well speaks for itself. Now, prayer is the key in all of this. More than once he said pray. You know, I'm guilty of not praying about some of the things that he's shown us over time the way that I should have. And I know that there are going to be some people who are going to want to get a copy of what I just read. Well, it is recorded. And this is going to be my January letter. So you will be receiving this within the next few days. I mean, we're going to get it printed, and probably between now and the end of the week, if you don't have it, it'll be in the mail on the way to you. Those that get it by email, you'll be receiving it, you know, between now and the end of the week. And then the letter that I had written for this month, you'll get it next month. Praise the Lord. Not all of the prophetic voices you're listening to are hearing from God. Let those words sink in. Let them sink in deeply. I don't profess myself to be a prophet. Okay? But I just share with you what God has given to me. I guess you can call me whatever you want. As long as it comes from the Bible, right? Hallelujah. That's really all I need to share with you this morning. And it's kind of like, you know, as things like this come forth, once God speaks, then we're accountable. Me too. And you know, my prayer really is that we'll all be sensitive to this and what he has said and wants to come. And like he said in here, not to let our hearts be troubled, because stuff is going to happen. It's like I've said before, you know, you can pray and you can confess, but you're not going to change the book of Revelation. It's going to happen. And, you know, a lot of these things that you have to remember, when John wrote that book, he had never seen a tank, an airplane, a helicopter. I mean, he didn't know what a computer, he didn't know. He'd never, so he did his best to describe things in a way that made sense to him. And we read it and it's so cryptic to us. But I think as time goes on, we're going to start understanding that book more than we ever have before. And we're going to start realizing, or we're going to start seeing the analogies. You know, what he wrote such and such. Now I see what he was talking about. It represents this thing over here. I guess really all I can do is say, you know, pray. Just pray, you know, for yourself and for each other to make the commitment to experience and receive from God the spiritual strength that we need. Yeah, we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and we can have the peace that passes all understanding, but things are going to be changing in this world rapidly. But praise God, I want to be in that army. Amen.